Now we're holding on Samach Dalad Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We've been discussing the whole issue of a ganav having to pay tashlumei kefil. We talked about that there are several psukim in connection with that. You have one pasuk, you have two psukim in connection with a shomer that mentions where he has to pay kefil, and we had a machlokes between two brises, whether both of them are referring to what's called toyin kainas ganav, namely when the shomer himself, when the shomer claims that the thing was stolen, and then it turns out that he himself stole it, Adam came, then he stole it. Are both psukim talking about that? In which case, we said, in that case, why do we need two psukim to be telling us the same thing according to that opinion? Or is it that one of those psukim is talking about that, and the other one is talking about a plain gun? Then we went through, we have another pasuk, earlier in that same perek, in Parshas Mishpatim, that says that a ganav has to pay kefil, and we analyzed in great detail the details of that pasuk, how we can derive from that pasuk that a ganav pays kefil for everything. So now we're up to like this. According to the opinion in particular, that of the two psukim, as far as a shomer, one of them is talking about a ganav, meaning that we're not learning, according to that opinion, the fact that a ganav pays kefil for everything from the earlier pasuk that finishes chayim, that says im himotze b'yadei hagneva, but rather he's learning from the psukim that say in connection with a shomer that one of them is referring to a ganav. Then the question according to him is, the ema ganav atzmei b'shvua. How do we know then? Maybe the ganav himself is only chayiv to pay kefil only if he had falsely sworn that he hadn't stolen it. Because what's the case with toyin tainis ganav? Is the shomer is taken to bidder. The shomer was watching the thing. The owner of the thing comes to him and says, "Where is it?" He says it was stolen. He takes him to Beis Din. The guy swears there in Beis Din that it was stolen. And then when Adam come and say that he swore falsely, then that's when he's paying kefil. So maybe then in that case, a regular ganav also is only going to pay kefil only if he swore falsely. So again, the Rashba says the question is really only according to the opinion that we're learning the whole concept from a pasuk that in context is talking about toin tainas ganav. Although Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that maybe not. Maybe at least we should assume that there's a similarity between a ganav and toin tainas ganav in that. And the answer is, Loi Sakadaitach, you can't think that way. Titania, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yaakov Omer Shnayim Yishalim, Rabbi Yaakov says that when it says in the Pasuk, he pays double, that means Shaloi B'Shavua, that means even without having sworn, just the fact that he stole, and then Adim come and say that he swore, that alone makes him Chayiv to pay the tape. Continues Rabbi Yaakov, Ata Omer Shaloi B'Shavua, now you're saying that it means without a Shavua, or Eina Ela B'Shavua, maybe it davka means only if there was a Shavua, and he finishes, Amarta, you have to say, Loi Tachoya, it can't be that way. Now, Rabbi Yaakov finishes the braisa over there, and doesn't explain why it can't be that way. So we have to figure out, my Loi Tachoya, what's wrong with saying that it's that way? Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, because if that were the case, if a Gana was Chayev on Kefil, only if there was a Shavua, Loy lichtiv rachmona shnayim yishalim beganav, then the Torah never had to say the word that you paid double by a ganav, v'loisi v'kavachoymer mitoyin tainas ganav. And we would make a kavachoymer from the case of toyin tainas ganav, which was a similar kind of kavachoymer that we did at the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We would say, Madach, the case of the shomer who claims that the thing was stolen, where to begin with it was given to him beheter, because there was a shomer on it to begin with, and yet the pasuk says that he has to pay double. Ganav atzmei to be sura osel yodei, the ganav himself, who even to begin with was doing an iser, loy koshiken, how much more so he should have to pay kefil. Now, when we tried that on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, we said that won't work, though, because if you try to make that kavachomer, then you're going to run into the problem that Dayoi would tell you that in that case, the ganav would be chayav only when there's a shvua. Now, though, we're arguing maybe precisely that. Rabbi Yaakov is trying to forestall that and say how we know that a ganav doesn't have to take a shvua in order to be chayav and kefil. So now, when Rabbi Yaakov says, loy kachoya, so Abaya is explaining, because if that were in fact the case, then the Torah if in fact he was going to be chayav only with a shvua, then yes, we could have used that kavachomer, and then the pasuk never needed to use the words, shnayim yishalim, in the first place, in the case of a ganav. So Ella Shnayim Yishalom because Rachman of a Ganav Atzmei Lamali Dafi B'Shloi B'Shavua. So why does it say Shnayim Yishalom by a Ganav is to teach us that even without a Shavua he's still going to be Chayev for that. Now, when we learned this yesterday, Avraham Moshe, you brought up the point. I mean, couldn't we say the Kavah Chomer the other way around on the face of it? I mean, it means the Shomer is in a way more guilty because to begin with, he was entrusted with this thing and now he violated that trust. And like I told you then, you know, I mean, that's a fair point. Nevertheless, though, in terms of the actual business of the matter and the fact that we have to consider how did he first get the object, the Heteira versus the Ganav got the Isura, and now at the end we have an Isur because both of them stole it. So we can make that Kavah Chomer, never mind the fact, okay, he betrayed the guy's trust, fine. In the future, the guy's going to know not to trust him, obviously. But that shouldn't make that his requirement to pay should be any greater than that of a regular guy. And therefore, we would have said that he pays it only with a shavua, and we would have said that a ganav pays it also only with a shavua, but that's why the pasuk tells us shnayim yishalem to forestall that and say that no, with a ganav there's no shavua necessary. Okay, so the Gemara asks, v'hai imhimotze lahochi odasa. So you're telling me that the word imhimotze you're using for the limud that we were talking about before, we used it as part of a klal or prat or klal or a ribui miut ribui. In the end, we said. To say that the guy is chayev, payful for any kind of object that he stole. Or we also brought Rav Bar Ahilai explain that we use that positive to learn what Rav said, that moide b'knas v'achapach bo edim potter, that if he admitted that he owes the knas and then later on edim came along and said that he is in fact chayev, then he will be potter from the knas because he admitted first. And then he had learned that from the word imhi matze ti matze. So you're telling me that we use the word imhi matze to use for those limudim. Homi boile l'chedetanya. We need it for yet another limud. A braise says now like this. If the pasuk said yodei, the pasuk says imhi matze ti matze bi yodei hagneva. If you find the stolen object in his hand. So if it only said yodei, you would think emi ela yodei. Maybe only if he actually stole it with his hands. So he actually picked it up and took it. How would we know this? Agave chatzeira v'kapei from minayin. How would we know the same thing applies also if he used his roof or his chaser or his carpet for that purpose? Which means, in other words, Tosfos says, let's say for example, he went into the balabos's chaser and then took a stick and started hitting the animal until it went into his roof or his chaser or his carpet. So he didn't actually pick it up. On the other hand, there are achronim, Tzoyis and others talk about based on a Rashi elsewhere that says that it may even mean even if he didn't do any maisa kinyan at all. Even let's say, for example, it wandered on its own into his chotzer or roof or what have you, and then he closed the door and now is keeping it. So he didn't do any kind of specific kinyan on it. Nevertheless, so how would we know that nevertheless minayin? How do we know that even then he's chayev to pay cable? Therefore, the pasuk says if it's found in his possession, meaning regardless under what circumstances it's found in his possession, whether he actually took it via dayin, whether he hid it until it got into his property, or whether it just wandered into his property and then he kept it. Either way, the words imhimotze tzimotze teach us that regardless he's chayev. So that being the case, then we learn that from that. How are we learning the other limudim that we said before? And the answer is in Cain, if that's what the pasuk meant, if all that's what the pasuk was for, lemakro oy himotze oy timotze timotze, then the Torah would have repeated the same word twice. Midishani kro. Instead, the pasuk says it in this form, himotze timotze, two different words. Now, I mean, in Poshet Pshat, we would say that's the style of the Torah, is to use an infinitive and then a verb. So, himotze is an infinitive, finding timotze, it will be found. But nevertheless, the Gemara is saying that the pasuk, if it was only coming for the limud that we were just saying, regardless, you find that in his property, it didn't need to use those two different forms. It could have used the same form again. And we would have learned only that. Since instead it says, himotze timotze, shnami not tauti, therefore you can learn two things. You can learn that he's chayev kefal no matter what. and you can, regardless whether he took it with his hand or any other method, and either of the drushes that we said before, either that we use it for ribui, miut, ribui, and say that means he's chayev for everything, or that we use it for Rav's drasha about moedah b'knas v'achar, Rav about Eli's drasha to explain Rav about moedah b'knas v'achar kach boed. Okay. So that's that. So now we've gone through all the various psukim that talk about as far as a ganav, and we've established how we know that a ganav is chayev to pay kefil no matter what kind of object it was, whether it was an animal or something else, and even if he hadn't taken a shulah. So now the Gemara says gufa. Let's get back to something we said before in the course of the discussion. We said Omer Rav keren kein shaganav. When it comes to paying the keren, when it comes to paying the basic amount, that the ganav is chayev no matter what. And keep in mind, he's chayev for the keren always, even if, for example, we just said moedah b'knas, the kefil and the abo b'chamisha, if he shechts it or steals it, all of those are a knas. Those he's not chayev for if he admits it. But there aren't edim. But the keren is going to be chayev for regardless. So Rav had said before, we said before that when the pasuk says chayim, when it says im himotzi timotzi biyavi agneva mishorat chamer etc. chayim alive shnayim yishalim, then he has to pay double. And we said it doesn't mean dafka the thing has to be alive because we already established that he pays kefil even for inanimate objects. So we said Rav had said achiyav the keren kein shaganav, you have to make living the keren that it should be the way he stole it. In other words, that if the animal went down in value from when he stole it until when he's paying, then he has to he has to make up that difference. So Omer Rav, so Rav had said in that connection, Keren Ke'en Shagonav. When it comes to the Keren, it has to be that he pays according to the value that it was when he stole it. Now, there is a Machlokas we showed him about that. What are we talking about even when he's returning the actual animal itself? Or are we talking about only when he's returning its monetary value? What Rav is saying over here, everybody will agree that if he's returning its monetary value, so in other words, so the animal was worth 100 when he stole it. Later on, it was worth only, it was worth only 80. And let's say it died at that point, then we're saying he's going to have to pay 100. He's not going to be able to say, well, it was worth only 80 later on, or it's worth next to nothing now that it's dead. No, he has to pay the full 100. When he's returning the actual animal, then Tosfos elsewhere says that maybe he doesn't have to add the extra amount. Tosfos Reed says that he would. Anyway, though, Rav is saying that's as far as the keren. On the other hand, Rav says tashlume kefil, tashlume abav hamisha kishasna moda badin. On the other hand, when it comes to tashlume kefil and when it comes to tashlume abav hamisha, then we're going to go according to the value that it was when he stole it, but rather according to the time when he goes to Beis Din. So we're going to have to figure out, in other words, if the animal has gone up or down in value between when he stole it and when he, and when it goes to Beis Din, then the kefil or the abav hamisha are going to be in accordance with that. Tosfos points out that Rav's chiddush is not really on the keren kein shaganav. That you actually have a Mishnah that says later on in our Masechta that says that you always pay kashas exeim. The chiddush is more about the rest of it that he's saying about the kefil and the abav hamisha. That's his chiddush, that you don't go according to the original value, that you go according to the current value. Now within that you have, by the way, machlokas rishonim. You have the Rambam holds, or at least the Yamshal Shloima, the Maharshal understands him to be saying that shas hamodah b'din means for both kefil and for abav hamisha means when the edim actually come. In the case of abav hamisha, that it would mean when the edim come and testify that he shechted it. On the other hand, the Rosh holds that no, when it comes to Tashlumi Abav Hamisha, it means the actual time when he shechted it, not when the Edim come. And there is some discussion why the Rosh makes that distinction. The Sme'am Shulchan Aruch brings a long discussion about it. One thing he points out is, because after all, you can have a situation. Imagine that Edim came and come and say that he stole it. And then he admits that he shechted it. Would that patter him from Tashlum Abav Hamisha? No, because once the Edom came and said that he stole it and he's not admitting to that, then he becomes chayiv in everything else that, it turns out, developed after that. So therefore, we can't say that the Abav Hamisha, he only becomes chayev in when we can't say he becomes chayev in only when the Edom come. So therefore that would be a reason to say that the payment, the extra payment, the Abav Hamisha for the shechting, we're going to go according to what its value was when he shechted it. But again, according to the Maharshal's understanding of the Rambam, at least, if not so, the Smeh has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that. So the point is that Rav is saying, so my time is the Rav, so why does Rav make that distinction between the Keren and the rest of the payments? Because Omakro Gneva v'chayim, because the Pasuk is mentioning the word Chayim in connection with Gneva, in connection with the stealing. Meaning, Amai Kama Rachmana Chayim B'Gneva. What does the Pasuk mean when it puts the word Chayim over there, as far as the word Gneva? It comes to teach us, like we said before, Achila Keren Kain Shagonav. Means you have to make alive, you have to fill up the Keren, that it should be the equivalent of what it was when he stole it. But precisely, since the Pasuk is mentioning it only in connection with Gneva, then that implies that when it comes to the other payments, then this din does not apply to them, and therefore you go according to its current value. So Tosfos again has a long discussion about over here about the ins and outs of that, about what exactly is the basis for what's the logical basis behind that distinction. Because the idea is that the point of paying the knas is that you have to return the value of the gneva multiple times, one extra time or three or four extra times. So therefore you have to go according to the current value. Tosfos themselves hold that it's actually that you're paying for the, it's not so much the mitzvah of returning it, but rather paying for the gneva, and therefore, so, were it not for the gzeres hakasuv, yeah, we would have said that all of them should go according to shasa gneva, but because the pasuk says chayim, then therefore we say that the keren is an exception, but everything else remains as it was before. So two different ways of understanding the theory behind this distinction. Anyway, that's what Rav said, that you have that distinction. The Keren goes according to the original value, and the Tashlum Kefal and so forth go according to the current value. Again, what do we mean by current? That you have the Machlokas of the Rambam and the Rosh, but in any case, the point is there is that distinction. Omer Rav Sheshes, however, Rav Sheshes disagrees, and he says, Amina, I would say, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav Omer l'hoshmaita. Rav must have said this statement when he was about to fall asleep. In other words, Rav Sheshes is saying, I can't believe that Rav would have said such a thing. We've talked about before, we had this expression earlier in the Masechta as well. The Chavis Yor explains on it that Rav Sheshes is actually not saying that as a disrespectful thing to Rav. Rav was his Rebbe. Adrav, he's saying it's a very respectful thing. I can't believe Rav would have said something that's so obviously incorrect. The only way that Rav could possibly have said such a thing would be if he was out about to fall asleep and therefore wasn't thinking so clearly. Anyway, Rav Sheshes says it can't be the Tanya, because in fact we learn a Braisa that contradicts it. A Braisa says, Khusha v'hishmina, a person stole a skinny animal and then he fattened it up. Then he pays the tashlumei kefal and the tashlumei abav hamisha according to the time that it was, according to what it was worth when he stole it. Here Rav is saying that when it comes to at this point of Sheshes is assuming that Rav's din would apply whether the animal went up or down in value, and regardless why it went up or down, even if it's because the guy himself fattened it up. So therefore Rav Sheshes says this Braisa is clearly saying that you always go according to the current value, not like Rav. The answer is Amri, so they answer back. That's not a problem. Mishum de Omalei, because the difference is in that Braisa, it's talking about that he himself fattened it up. De Omalei, so therefore the Ganav has every right to say to the original owner, Ano patimna va'at shaklas, I fattened it up, and you should be entitled to get an extra knas, extra amounts of money for the fact that I made it worth more, and therefore I should have to pay a larger kefal or a larger above hamisha because of that. It's not logical. So in effect, he's saying, in other words, that this This extra value is not really yours. It's because of my doing, and therefore I shouldn't, fine, I have to return it to you, but certainly I shouldn't have to pay an extra kapel because of it. So that's the point of Rashi. Tosfos understands the argument a little bit differently. That the vert is that he's saying that, look, when I stole the animal from you, I didn't steal from you a fat animal. I stole from you a skinny animal. So this extra fat wasn't even on it when I stole it, and therefore there's no reason that I should have to pay kafel based on that. Anyway, so the Bnei HaYeshiva answered that no, this Braisa is not a contradiction. According to this, Braisa is not a contradiction on Rav, because the Braisa is talking about the specific case where he himself fattened it up. In fact, it comes out, therefore, that according to Rashi, and also the Rif holds similar to Rashi in this, if the animal became fat on its own, then we wouldn't be able to have that argument. Then he would have to say that we go according to its current value. And in that case, that would still contradict Rav, in which case we would have to say that Rav must have been talking about Rav would be talking about when it fattened up on its own, and then we go according to the current value for the kafel and so forth, whereas the Braisa would be talking about where he fattened it up. On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees with that again and says the vort is because he can say that fat was not on the animal when I stole it, and therefore it doesn't matter whether it fattened up on its own or whether I fattened it up. Either way, there's no reason I should be responsible to pay a larger kafel because of that. So therefore, either way, however we learn it, then that braisa is not a contradiction on Rav. Okay, the Gemara says Tashma. Let's prove from another braisa. A braisa says Shmena. If the other way around, if the animal was fat when he stole it, the chisha, and he made it weaker. For example, he overworked. Rashi gives an example. He overworked it or he hit it. Then he pays the kefal and the abav hamisha according to the value of what it was when he was stolen. Now again, according to Rav, we should be mechayev him according to what it's worth now. And the answer is hasam nami. There also the reason is mishum dam minam lei. We say to the ganav, we meaning based in, say to the ganav the opposite of the argument that we said before. We say mali. Well, not really the opposite, but we say mali kotla kula, mali kotla palga. After all, what's the difference between killing it completely or killing it halfway? You're making it weak. That's already the beginning of killing it. So just as if you were to shecht it, you wouldn't pay according to the value when you finish the shechita. Tosfos points out, you have a concept called in halacha, you have a concept in the Gemara sometimes, yeshna l'shechita mitzchila v'ad soi. The entire process of shechita is considered shchita, and you can't say that you have the other way around. You have a concept called einel shchita el basoif. When is it considered shchita? Only when you've reached the point where it's considered a valid shchita. Now, though, here we're not going to say that. We're not going to say that you go according to the value only at the moment when he completes the shchita. You're going to go according to the value that it was at the beginning of the shchita. Well, then you're going to say the same thing over here. You weaken the animal. That's already the beginning of the shchita of it. So therefore, we can already say, in effect, you began the process of shchita, and therefore we're going to hold you responsible for that loss in value. So that doesn't contradict Rav, because Rav is talking about, as the Gemara continues, ki kamar Rav beyukra bezula hu dekamar, because Rav is not talking about where the ganav actually did something to the animal to make it go up and down in value. For example, fattening it up, or here in the opposite way, weakening it. We're talking about where it itself, on its own, went up and down in value. For example, just prices went up or down, or different things like that. Therefore, we have to figure out what the current value is versus what the value was before. Now, this is about kotla kula and kotla palga. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's understanding of it, because after all, we're going to learn later on in the perek, when we get to the details of the dinim of tzvicha or mechira, if he kills the animal without shchita, then he's not paying tashlum abav hamisha. That's only strictly if he does a kosher to shchita. So then in that case, what is weakening it by beating it or overworking it or whatever have anything to do with that? If it were to die from that, he wouldn't be paying tashlum abav hamisha. Rather, Tosfos learns differently and says, look, you can't go, if he killed the animal completely, you certainly wouldn't go according to the value it is then. You wouldn't say, well, right now it's only a carcass and therefore it's worth next to nothing. Of course not. You'd go according to the value before he did that. Well, the same thing with Kotla Pauga, the same way now, when he sort of killed it halfway by overworking or beating it, then you'd have the same argument. That you can't say that he should be potter, for that he should be able to pay less because he beat the animal, because he weakened it. Rather, we're going to tell him that the same way as you wouldn't get away with paying less by killing the animal, the same way you can't get away with paying less by beating the animal. Nothing to do though with the idea, like Rashi is saying, that it's the beginning of Shchita, and had you completed the Shchita, you would be chayev tashlum edalav behei, the tashlum abal chamisha, because like Tosfos says, that has nothing to do with over here. The fact is, if he killed it in some other way, he wouldn't be chayev for that. This expression, mali kotla kola, mali kotla pauga, on another level, is brought in a number of places in Chassidus, where, among other things, it talks about, you know, here we have in Tanya these days, the Alter Rebbe is dealing with the level of a Beinoni, where he has a very active Yetzirah, but he's constantly on guard against it and never allows it to do anything. So therefore, you know, over time, he gradually kills it in one way or the other. He kills one or another taiva of it. And therefore, we can say on that also in a positive sense, mali kotla kula, mali kotla pauga, the very fact that he's killing his yetzahara, at least on some level, is already, Hashem gives him credit as though he killed the entire thing. And over time, he'll do more and more of that. And we have that expression is brought in general, even a person who's not on the level of a Beinoni yet, when he kills one individual taiva, then he gets tremendous credit from Hashem for that, for now he's gone a long way towards Kotla Kula. Okay. In any case, the point is that this Braisa also is not a contradiction on Rav. Okay, well then we have to ask, if we're saying that Rav's din is only talking about Yoikra Vezoila, only the case where the value of it went up or down, then in that case, so we have to figure out Hechidam. So what exactly are we talking about when Rav is saying that you pay the Keren according to the original value and the Kefal and so forth according to the later time of Hamad of Adin? So what's the scenario? Are we talking about that to begin with, when he stole it, it was worth only one zuz? And by the time, and later on, before he does tvicho mechira, for example, before he shechts it or sells it, then it goes up and is worth four zuz. And you're saying not because he fattened it up, but rather because, you have the machlokas before, whether if it fattened up on its own, or we're just talking about the prices have risen and everything, and animals in general are going for more expensive than they were before. Well, in that case, then what do you mean? Keren Kain Shagonav. In that case, what does Rav mean that you should pay the Keren only according to the one Zuz, which was worth when he stole it? The problem with that is Lema Pliga de Rav Adraba. Would that mean that Rav then is necessarily disagreeing with something that Rabba says at the near the end of Perek HaMachti? Rabba says, the Omer Rabba, Hai man de gozo chavisa de chamra mechavre, if a person stole a barrel of wine from somebody else, me'ikra shavya zuza, let's say to begin with that barrel was worth one zuz, all of a sudden shavya arba zuzi, and later on it's worth four zuz, and again, we don't mean because the quality of it improves. The quality of it doesn't necessarily improve while it's in storage. What we mean is the price of wine has gone up, and now the same barrel of wine that before would have gotten only one zuz is now worth four. One thing is, the Gemara mentions in Eru Matzias and Hamachid that there were certain regular fluctuations in price depending on the time of year. You'd have, for example, during the vintage season when everybody has wine to sell, the price would tend to be, actually in Bava Basra really it talks about that more, the price would tend to be lower, and then between seasons it might be higher. Whatever the case, the point is that so you have this case where from when he stole it until later on, now it became worth more. So it depends, Rabba says. Tavra ishasya, if he broke the barrel or he drank it, so now he made it impossible to return the actual object itself, Meshalam Arba. Then he pays four zuz because Rashi refers to that Gemara in Hamafkid that explains as long as that barrel of wine exists, he would have to return the actual barrel. Therefore, it can still be considered to be in the reshus of the original owner, and therefore, so now if it went up in value, fine. Then the owner is a, the owner owns that extra value. So now, what happens is, in other words, up until he stole it in Tishrei. Then, so meanwhile, in Tishrei time, it belongs to the owner. In Cheshvan, it still belongs to the owner because it's still sitting there in his, it's still sitting there in his house, and in the Ganav's house. The owner doesn't know where it is right now, but it's still considered in his Rishus because anytime we find out that the Ganav stole it, or if he himself does Truva, he's going to return that actual barrel. What happens only when he goes and breaks it or drinks it, then he's taking it out of the reshus of the owner once and for all. Well, by that time, it's gone up to 4 zuz. Therefore, he has to pay 4 zuz. But, continues Rabba, if by Mimela, if the barrel broke on its own, Meshalem Zuza, then he pays only 1 zuz, because then you can't be Mechayev him for the breakage of it, because he wasn't responsible for that. You can only be Mechayev him for the original theft. And at that time, it was worth only 1 zuz. Well, now, applying that over here to the case of stealing an animal, when he steals an animal and shechts it or sells it, that's the equivalent of Rabba's breaking or drinking the barrel of wine. And according to Rabba's logic, therefore, you should be paying the larger amount. And yet Rabba's saying over here that you're paying only the keren. What's the difference? The answer is Amri. So the answer, no, that's not the case that Rav is talking about. I mean, we could. Obviously, Rav and Rava are both Amiroim. They're entitled to argue with each other. But the Gemara is assuming that they're not. That Rava is not going to knowingly argue with Rav, and vice versa. This din that Rava said, it's not necessarily something that's original to Rava. We find many dinim in the Gemara that are said in the name of an Amora, but really are known long before him. So apparently it's a well-known and well-accepted halacha, and therefore we don't assume that Rav is going to argue with it. So Rav is not talking about that case. It's true if the value went up, then Rav would say that you pay the keren according to the latest value. Rather the other way around. The other way around, when he stole the animal, it was worth 4 zuz, and now by the time he shechts it or sells it, it's worth only 1 zuz. So that would be the case where Rav says keren kain should gone up tashlum kefor tashlum abav chamisha kishas hamodabadin. So now Rav would say the keren you have to pay according to the value when he stole it. Therefore he's paying 4 zuz for the keren. As far as the tashlum above chamisha, that he'd be paying kishas hamodabadin. So therefore, if he's paying kefal, then he's paying 1 more zuz, and if he's paying above chamisha, then he's paying 3 or 4 more zuz, as the case may be. Later on in the sugya, actually, the Gemara is going to draw a distinction between whether he's paying back using money or whether he's paying back using animals. So Tosfos discusses over there that based on when we get to the end of the sugya, we may find out that actually Rav is not necessarily saying what we're explaining over here. We may end up saying that in fact Rav is talking about where the animal went down before. Let me rephrase that. So are we saying that Rav is saying that it's not talking about the case like Rav said where it goes up in value, or are we in fact saying that his din would apply to both? Maybe in fact we could say yes, maybe he is disagreeing with Rav, and maybe in fact his din would apply to both. But at any rate, we definitely established that it truly applies when the animal has gone down in value. And therefore, the Gemara says, "Toni Rab Chanina l'siyui l'Rav." In which case, Rab Chanina brings a brisa that will support Rav's understanding. That again, we're talking about the animal was worth 4 zuz at the time of the theft. And now, by the time it comes to Tricho Mechira, it's worth only 1 zuz. So Rav is saying, as far as the Keren, he's paying 4 zuz, but as far as the rest of it, as far as the extra one for Kefal, or the extra 3 or 4 for Tavach HaMachar, that he's only paying at the rate of 1 zuz, about 1 zuz per multiple. So Rav Chanina taught a braisa that supports how Rav understands it. The braisa says, Balabayis Shaton Tainas Ganav Pikodim. Now let's talk about the case of a shomer. Again, we said before you have a case of a shomer chinam who claims that the item that he was watching was stolen, and that's toyin tainas ganav. He swears about it. Later on, Adam come and say that he himself stole. So, Balabais, Chaton, Tinus, Ganav, Bikodin, Vinishba. Now, you have to consider there are two things that might happen after he swears. One possibility is that Edim come and testify that, in fact, he stole it. And we said before, in that case, he has to pay kapal. The posit says, Yishalim Shnayim Re'eu. Then you have another case that the Torah talks about in Parashas Vayikra, and again in Parashas Nosai, where he himself admits that he had sworn falsely, where then he's hired to pay the keren plus a choymesh, one-fifth, which, as we've learned many times before, really means one-quarter of the original, one-fifth of the new total that he's paying, and he also has to bring a korban oshem. So now, what happens is, so Rav Chanina's braisa says, balabais shetan tanis ganav b'kodin, so the balabais, the owner of the object, balabais means the shoymer. The shomer is claiming tainas ganav, but b'kodin, with something that was entrusted to him to watch, the nishba, and he swore about it, the hoda, and then afterwards he admitted that he had sworn falsely, uvo edim, and then edim come, and, or not then, but, and also edim come to testify that he had stolen it. So it depends. Im avshalei bo edim hoda, if he admitted before the edim came, mishalem keren v'choy mishvashem, then he pays, like in the ordinary case, where a person admits to having sworn falsely in a monetary manner, where then he pays the keren plus the choymish and brings the korban oshem. The im mishabo edim hoda, what happens if he only admitted after the edim came? Mishalem tashlumei kefil, so then he has to pay the tashlumei kefil, as is the rule for toin tainus ganav when he's contradicted by edim. The osham, he also has to bring a korban osham for the swearing falsely. The chumshay olaloi b'kfeiloi. Now, what happens? What about the chumash that he's supposed to pay? The chumash counts within the kefil. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains it has to be that we're talking about a case where the chumash is equal in value to the kefil. And now, on the face of it, how can that be? The chumash is 25% of the value of the original value. The kefil is 100% of the original value. So how could those possibly be the same? That's what, after we go through the discussion over here, we're going to see that relates to Rav's case where the value of the animal went down. Anyway, Rashi explains it has to be that the chumash and the kefil are equal. Otherwise, so like this, the Braise is saying, the chumash oilaloi b'kfeiloi, paying the kefil counts as the equivalent of paying the chumash. Divrei Rav Yaakov, that's what Rav Yaakov says. The point being, Rav Yaakov is saying, Rashi explains, if the kefil was less than the chumash, obviously he wouldn't get away with that. And if the kefil was more than the chumash, we still wouldn't say that he gets away with that, because it has to be, the chumash has to be noticeable on its own. It can't be that it's incorporated within some other payment. In fact, the Shittim Kovetzis says, even, for example, let's say, so what if he were to say, fine, I'll give you the chumash as a down payment towards the kefil, and I'll pay the rest of the kefil later. That still wouldn't work, because then it still amounts to that the chumash is not noticeable as a separate payment of its own, and it has to be, for his kapara, the Torah says for his kapara, he has to pay a chumash on his own. So therefore, it actually has to be, learns Rashi, that the chumash is actually equal to the kefil, no more, no less. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who don't learn like that. The Rashba, for example, points out that it doesn't necessarily have to be like, actually, Tosfos on Amud Beis also talks about it doesn't necessarily have to be like that, it could be that actually the chumash could be included within the kefil. So maybe according to them, what Rabbi Yaakov would mean is he's paying the kefil, and within that is the chumash. So in other words, he's not having to pay, let's say, for example, in a plain case where there were no fluctuations in value. Let's say the object that he stole was worth 4. So we'd say the kefil would be another 4 and the chumash would be 1. So then he'd be paying 9 altogether. So Rabbi Yaakov is saying he doesn't have to do that. He pays 8. According to that understanding, and that 8 includes 4 for the keren, 1 for the chumash, and then in addition, you have another 3 which also count for the kefil. So in other words, the same chumash, the same extra 1 counts for the chumash as well as for the kefil. That's how Tosfos and the Rashba and some other Rishonim learn. But again, Rashi says that not. It would mean it would only work, even according to Rav Yaakov, only if the chumash was exactly equal to the kefil. Which how that's going to be, we're going to talk about soon. Anyway, that's according to Rav Yaakov. The Chum say no. Since the Pasuk says, since the Pasuk says, in the case where a person swore falsely on a monetary matter, he has to pay back beroshay, which means the actual amount that he stole, v'chamishisay, and that he pays a chomesh. So the chom say, we learn from that, mamon ha-mishtalim berosh, mosif chomesh, mamon she'en mishtalim berosh, ein mosif chomesh. Only when you're paying the actual value, namely only the keren, and that would have to be where he admitted before the edim came, or any other case where he's not paying kafel, only then is he paying the chumash. You have the example, for example, that we had a couple of blocks ago. You could have the case where he claimed that it was lost rather than stolen and swore on it, and then Adam came and said that he kept it. We said even though he's a ganav, he still doesn't pay tashlum kafel, because tashlum kafel is only toyin tainus ganav, only when he claimed that it was stolen, not when he claimed that it was lost. So you have a case where even with the Edom, he's not paying kafel, and therefore that would be a case where because of the false shvur, because he admits to the false shvur, then therefore he pays the chaymish. But the chachamim say, momen she'en mishtalim berosh, any case where he's not paying berosh, where he's paying something else in addition to the keren, ein mosif chaymish, then he doesn't add the chaymish. So the chachamim say, that no, in this case, when Adam came and said that his Toyin Tainus Ganev and his Shvur was false, and that in fact he himself is the Ganev, then the Chum say no, there's no Choymish in that case. There is, however, an Osham. They still will say that there is an Osham for reasons that we're going to explain in a minute. But they hold that there's no Choymish in that case. Unlike Rabbi Yaakov, who's saying that he pays the Choymish as the kafel, according to Rashi, or the chomish within the kafel, according to Tosfos, so the chacham say no, he doesn't do that, but he does pay though. He does bring the osham. Reb Shimon Yechoi disagrees on that point as well, and says ein chomish v'osham mishtalim makom sheyesh kafel. He says there's no osham even when there's a kafel. So you have a three-way machloikus over here. Reb Yaakov holds that you need both the chomish and the osham in this case. The chum say only the osham, no chomish, and Reb Shimon says not even the osham. So why that is, we're going to discuss further down on the Amud why the Chachamim would make that distinction and why Rav Shimon does not agree with that distinction. But first, says Rav Hanina, Katoni Mias Chumsha Oilo Lekfele Divid Rav Yaakov. Anyway, the Braisa had said, Rav Yaakov had said, that the Chumash counts as the Kefil. And again, according to Rashi, we're talking about it means that the Chumash and the Kefil are exactly equal. So we have to figure, hey, Shidami, what is the scenario where they would be equal? Now, according to Tosfos, it does, again, they don't have to be equal, but nevertheless, still, the question would be that he's implying that the Chomer, there can be a case where the Chomer is equal to the Kefil, and what would that case be? Are we talking about to begin with, it was always worth 4 zuz the whole time? When he stole it, it was worth 4. And now when we come to Beis Din, it's also worth 4. What do you mean, Chomsha Oilo LeKfela? Kfela above, Chomsha Zuzah. The Kefil, then, is going to be 4 times the Chomish. Because the Chomish is 25% of the original, which is going to be 1 zuz compared to the original 4. Again, we call it a Chomish because once you have the total he's paying, if he was paying only Keren the Chomish, the total he'd pay would be 5 zuzim, and the extra zuz is 1/5 of that. That's why we call it a chomish. Anyway, but the kefil would be arba, the kefil arba, the chomsha zuzah. The kefil would be 4 zuz because the kefil is 100% of the value of the original thing. So you can't say, so according to Rashi, the Rav Yaakov wouldn't even hold his din in that case, and according to Tosfos, fine, he would hold his din, but he wouldn't say, but we can't say that there could ever be such a scenario. El alav, so what must it be, says Rav Hanina, the me'ikra shavya abol, l'vasayf shavya zuzah, must be, to begin with, it was worth 4 zuz, now, by the time we come to Beis Din, it's worth only 1 zuz, or by the time he was tavach ha-machar, let's say, it was worth only 1 zuz, de kvela zuzah v'chum she zuzah. Well then, very neatly, according to what Rav is saying, the kefil is going to be a zuz because you go according to Rav, the kefil, you go according to the current value, not the original value. And the chomesh, on the other hand, the chomesh is going to be relative to the original amount. The chomesh is based on the keren, and the keren we said is kein shaganav, like Rav said, which is going to be 4 zuz, and the chomesh of that is going to be 1 zuz. Well, there you go. There's your case that you have where the kefil and the chomesh can both be exactly the same amount. Alma, Keren, Kain, Shagona, Tashlama Kekha, Tashlama Abba, Tashlama Dalla, Behek, Shasam, Badabadin. There you go. You have a clear proof from this Braisa, from the scenario that Rabbi Yaakov is describing, that the Keren has to be according to the original value, and therefore so is the Chomesh, where's the Tashlume Kefal, and the other Tashlumen as well, are going to go according to the later value. So this Braisa, says Rav Chanina, clearly points out that the clearly agrees with, clearly supports what Rav is saying. And Tosfos points out, now you could say the other way around. You could say that maybe what if it was worth less at the beginning and more now, and maybe you would say the Kefal would go according to how it was when he stole it, and then the Keren would be according to how it is now, the opposite of what Rav is saying. But Tosfos says there's no logical reason to say that. Why should Keren be according to Hamad of Adin and Dalad Behe should be according to the time when he stole it? The only reason to make a distinction Bechlal was because of the Pasuk, and the Pasuk is referring to the original Gneva. So therefore, says Rav Chanina, so this Braisa supports what Rav is saying. On the other hand, Omar Rava, not necessarily, Rava says, La'olam d'me'ikah shavya abah v'hashtanami shavya abah. In fact, the Braisa could be talking about a case where to begin with it was worth four, and even now it's worth four. Or the kakashik kfeila dalib b'chumshe zuza. So you're asking, what about though? Isn't the kefal four times the chomesh? No, because we could say hocha mayaskinen. You mentioned nishba b'chozav and nishba arapamim. Because you can talk about a case where he repeatedly swore falsely on it four times, and each time all of v'hoida, and only at the end did he admit on the four shavuos that all four of them had been false. The Rashba and other Rishonim point out over here, you wouldn't necessarily have to be talking about, you can't have that it means that he swore one after the other in Beis Din. Beis Din wouldn't allow him to do that. What we have to be talking about is that they were in different, we would have to be talking about that they were in different Bate Dinim, for example. So each time he swore, and then Adam came, and then he admitted in a different Beis Din. If it had all taken place within one Beis Din, then they wouldn't be, once he swore falsely and Adam came, then they wouldn't have him swear again. So we have to be talking about, so the Rashba talks about that each thing happened in a separate Beis Din. In any case, the point is, if he four times in four different Bate Dinim, he swore falsely that it was stolen. Four times, Adam came and said that he's lying, and now at the end, he admits. So now, Vahatoda Omra, because the Torah says, Vahamishi Sum, the Torah uses a plural, it's fifths. In the plural that he has to add. That means HaTorah Rivsah Chamishi Yisharu B'Keren Achas. The Torah is telling us that there can be a time when you pay, when a person pays many Chumshin for one Keren. So that would be the case over here, says Rava. So the Braisa, sort of Yaakov scenario, could be talking about that. The case would be the Keren is four Zuzim, and it remains four Zuzim the whole time. The Keren, therefore, the Kefal, therefore, is also four Zuzim, because that's what it is, 100% of the value. As far as the Chomesh, why is it that he's paying a Chomesh also equal to the Keren? Is because we're talking about that he did this four times. And therefore, it adds up. And therefore, in total, he's paying four extra Chomshin, which therefore is another 100% of the original amount. So maybe the Braisa doesn't have to mean that, and therefore maybe the Braisa would be like Rab's scenario, but Rava is saying not necessarily. Okay. Now, going back to, we said in the Braisa, Omamar, V'chamim B'roshoy V'chamishisav, we said the Chachamim say because the Pasuk says B'roshoy on its head, meaning it's the original value, the Keren, both, by the way, you have the, like this, why do we call the principle the Keren, literally means the horn. It means, in other words, like the strength, like the original strength of the thing. We often find a horn used as a metaphor for strength in the Torah. So the same way over here, the pasuk is using the word beroshoy, also referring to the primary value of it. So the chum that say momen amishtalim berosh moisif chomish momen shein mishtalim berosh in moisif chomish. So we said that only when you're paying the keren and nothing else, you're paying the chomish. But if you're paying something else, then you don't pay the chomish. But the Gemara says implicitly the chum is saying avol osham maisi. The implication is that he still is bringing the korban asham. Well, you have to ask, my shnachomish from the shalom dichtiv v'roish of achamishisav. So why are the chacham say he's not paying the chomish because it says v'roishoy and then it says achamishisav, and therefore they're saying because of that hekesh between them, it means only when he's paying roishoy, only then is he paying chamishisav. Well, osham nami l'mishalom, he shouldn't be bringing a korban osham either. Dachsid v'roishoy v'achamishisav v'es hashomai, because the pasuk continues that he has to pay v'roishoy and he has to pay the chamishis v'es hashomai, and the next pasuk continues and his osham. So we should say the same rule. And the answer is amri loch, because the chachamim amri loch rabbanon, the chacham will answer to you es paske kro. Sure, but since it says v'roshoy v'chamishisav, and then it says v'es ashamay, so the Chacham said the word es is coming to break things up, and to say that there's a difference. The choymesh you're paying only if you're paying the keren, but the asham you're bringing regardless. Well, v'rav shim ben yichoy, what does Rav Shim ben Yochai answer to that? He says v'es arvekra. He says fine, but the pasuk then says s. It says v'es, so that means to combine them back together and to say that the same din that applies to the chomesh applies to an asham. V'rabbanan amilach. What do the chachamim answer back to that? They say if that's the case, if you're telling me that the vav is meant to recombine them, loy lich v'rachmana loy vav v'loy s, then the pasuk didn't have to write either one. The Torah could have said v'shilam oseh v'roshay v'chamishisav v'ashamay. It didn't have to say the word s or the vav at all. Once it has the s, then it's obviously meant to divide things up, and it doesn't matter that there's a vav. V'Rav Shim ben Yochai Amalach, where's Rav Shim ben Yochai? Will answer, Loi es loi salye b'loi kasav. It's impossible. The Torah couldn't possibly have written without the S, because v'af suki bein mamon gavaya lo mamon hed. Because after all, the Torah needs to make a distinction between the money that you're paying to Hashem, the osham that you're giving to Hashem, versus the money you're giving to a hedyet, the chomesh, which you're paying to the hedyet. It wouldn't be derech eretz for the Torah to mention them in the same breath without some kind of break between them. So therefore, so the Torah puts in the word S as a break. Hilkach also vav va'arvikra. So therefore, the vav comes back in. Therefore the vav comes to combine things back together and to say that the same whatever applies to the chomish applies to the osham. If there's no chomish, then there's no osham either. So that's how it is. So according to Rav Shimon, it had to say s, and once it did, then it has to put the vav. Whereas according to the chacham, that wouldn't have been necessary. It didn't have to say the word s in the first place, and therefore it didn't have to say the vav either. So therefore, according to them, once it has the word S there, it's not just meant to break it up for reasons of derech eretz, to not put a payment to Hashem together with a payment to a person, but rather also to tell us that they have different dinim. The Osham is bringing regardless, whereas the Chomish is bringing only if there's no other payment. Okay. The Gemara continues. So that was all dealing with Rav's din about the distinction between the Keren versus the Kefil and the Abor Hamisha. Now a new din. Omer Abila, Gonav Tlev Nasa Ayil. Later on, we're gonna re-relate this to Rav's din, but right now the Gemara is meanwhile bringing in a separate din. Amar Rav Ila, Gonav Tlev V'Nasa Ayil. If a person stole a sheep and then it became a ram while it was with him, the definition of a ram in halacha, as far as korbanos, for example, is when the animal is 13 months old, a year and one month. So he stole it before it was that age, and now it turned that age while it was by him. Egel v'nasa shur, or Rav Ila says, if he stole a calf and it grew up while he had it, and it became an ox, nasa shinui v'yodoy uknoi, then that's considered a shinui in his possession, and therefore he was koyne. We're going to deal with in great detail later on in the Masechta about the concept of shinui, that there are cases where a ganav steals something and then there's an irrevocable change to it, where then we say that it's considered that now he's koina the object, now he doesn't have to return the actual object itself, just the value of it. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that further in our parak. We're also going to deal with it in great detail later in the Masechta. Anyway, so Rav Ila is saying these kinds of things are considered a shinui. That now he's koina the animal. Now Rashi says only insofar as the din that he's going to say, as far as tovah homacha. As far as any other din, Rashi says we're not necessarily going to say that. We're still going to say that for other purposes we don't consider that he was koina with that. So it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have examples later on in the Masechta, for example, where a person stole a piece of wood, for example, and turned it into a piece of furniture, where sometimes we say for example, he stole wool and he dyed it, where we have examples like that of an irrevocable change where he's koina, so, and he doesn't have to return the actual item, just its value. So Rashi says we don't necessarily mean here with the animal growing up as far as that. We just mean as far as the details of Tovah HaMachar. So therefore, so Rav Ila says, Tovah HaMachar, now if he shechts the animal or he sells it, then we don't make him pay the Habal HaMisha, Shaloi Hu Tevayach, Shaloi Hu Moser. Because now, at this point, it's considered that what he shechted or what he sold is his own animal, because now he owns the actual animal. So you're still going to have, he's paying the Karen and the Kabel. And you're still going to have, like Rav said before, the Karen according to the original value and the Kabel, the Karen according to the current value and the Kabel according to, and the Kabel we're going to pay according to either way, how it was when he stole it or how it is when he goes to Beis Din. But in any case, Rav Ila is saying that we can't be mechayev him the extra payments for tashlum abav hamisha, because that would only be when he shechted or stole an animal that still belonged to the original owner, and here it doesn't anymore because now this is considered a shinui that changes the din. But Rav Chanina or Rav Ila, Rav Chanina says to Rav Ila, I have a contradiction on you from a Braisa. A Braisa says, Gun of Tlev and Asa Ail, if he stole a sheep of a lamb and it became a ram in his possession, Ego Vanasa Shur, or he stole a calf and it became a Shur, Mishalim Tashlom Ekefo, Betashlom Abba Hamisha, Ke'en Shagonav. And he has to pay the Tashlom Abba Hamisha, and he has to pay according to the value when he stole it. And that means, in other words, that he pays, so now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean, Ke'en Shagonav? We said that Tashlomei Kepel and Tashlomei Abav Chamisha are Kishas HaMod Abedin. Now, Rashi points out, we learned Rabba's din on Amud Aleph about the case of the barrel of wine. This Braisa is not a contradiction to him, because he can say that, no, the Braisa means only the extra payments of Kepel and Dalav Behei are we paying according to how it was when he stole it. But the Karen, it's going to depend sometimes it's going to be Kain Shagonav and sometimes not, depending what he actually did to the end. The point being, in other words, the Braisa is saying that he pays Ke'en Shagonav according to the value that it was when he stole it. So the value of a calf or the value of a lamb. Now, says Rav Chanina, V'isakudaydach Kanye, if you're going to tell me you, Rav Ila, are saying that he was actually koina the animal b'shinui, amai mashalim, then why is he paying? Arbav hamisha, as you said, shaloi tevech v'shaloi hobaycher. It's his own animal that he's shechting or it's his own animal that he's selling. And obviously the Braisa is not saying that way. So, Omaleh, sort of Ila answers back, the Elamai Shinui Velaikoni. So what are you saying then? This is not considered the kind of Shinui that is Koine, meaning in other words, everybody agrees so far. We're going to discuss soon, there's Machlokas Beshamai Besilil on this subject, but within Besilil's opinion, everybody agrees that a Shinui is Koine. If you're going to tell me though that this is not the kind of Shinui that is Koine, Amai Meshalam Ke'en Shagonav, then why should he be paying the Tashlumi Abav Chamisha according to the value when he stole? L'shalem fihashta. By your logic, he should be paying according to the value that it's worth now, right before he shechted or right before he sold it. Because you're arguing that it remained in the reshus of its owner the whole time. So in that case, it would be similar to the case of the barrel of wine that Rabba talked about before, where you say it's in his reshus until the other guy breaks or drinks the barrel. The same way you're arguing it's in the reshus of the owner because you're saying the shinui from a lamb to a ram is not considered a shinui that should make it the ganav's property now. Well, then by your logic, he should be paying according to the current value. So obviously, therefore, there must be a mistake in this braisa. So either he's saying there's a mistake in the braisa, that's how the Rashba learns, or the Pnei Yeshua says that maybe actually he's not saying there's a mistake in the braisa, but he's going to explain, as the Gemara is going to go on later to talk about, that maybe this braisa is only according to Beis Shammai, and it wouldn't be accepted as halacha. Omaleh, sort of Chanina answers back, The reason why, it's not that there's a mistake in the Braisa, and it's not that the Braisa is only according to Bishalim. Ki hashta, hain the time of the Lemishalim. You know why he's not paying the Tashlom Abba Hamisha according to the current value, Mishum Omer Le, because the Ganev can say, Torah Ganvi Minoch, did I steal from you a full grown shur? Dichra Ganvi Minoch, did I steal from you a full grown ram? So it's similar to the logic that we said on Amud Aleph about when the animal was fattened up, where he can say, in other words, it's not the animal has a different name now. So you can only be mechayev me for what I actually stole, which is the actual baby animal. Omalei, but Rabbi Ila says to Rabbi Chanina, Rachmanu Nitzlan Mehai Daita. May Hashem save us from that kind of das. In other words, that das of yours can't possibly be correct. You're being very inconsistent. If you consider it that it's not enough of a shinui for him to be koneh, how can it be enough of a shinui where he could use such an excuse and say, but it's not the same kind of animal I stole? Omalei, so Rabbi Chanina answers back, Adaram, Rachmanu Nitzlan Midaita Didoch. On the contrary, may Hashem preserve us from your das, because there's something inconsistent about your das. It's not enough of a shinui to be koneh, but surely it should be considered enough of a shinui to be considered that it's not exactly as shasag neva. So rather, he's not saying you're inconsistent, but he's saying the fact is, you have to realize there is a degree of shinui over here. At least enough for us to be able to say that it shouldn't be considered the exact same thing that he stole, and therefore they shouldn't have to pay according to the current value. So you have a machlokes between Rav Ila and Rav Chanina. However, maskul for Rav Zera asks anyway on the Braisa, what do you mean the Braisa is saying, so fine, we can talk about according to Rav Ila or according to Rav Chanina, whether it's considered a shinui as far as the ganav being koneh, and therefore whether can we say when he shechted it, it was his own animal that he's shechting or not, according to Rav Ila, yes, according to Rav Chanina, not. But never mind that. V'nikninu v'shinui hashem. Never mind that. Never mind whether we talk about whether he was koneh, whether it's considered a shinui of the object. At least it should be considered a shinui hashem. It has a different name now. Because before it was called Tleh, and now it's called Ayo. Before it was called Egel, and now it's called Shur. And the answer is, Omar Rava. So Rava says, that's not considered a shinui hashem. Shur ben yorme kori shur, Ayo ben yorme kori Ayo. Because a shur, even on the day it's born, can already be called a shur, even though normally we call it an eagle at that point, but it can actually be fine the positive where it is called a shur at that point. Similarly, ayo ben yomei kori ayo, and similarly, an ayo, a lamb, even on the day it's born, a male lamb can already be called an ayo. Of course, as far as Karbonis, Tosfos points, it's not like that, but we do find psukim where we find that a newborn cow can be called a newborn male calf can be called a shur, and a newborn male lamb can be called an ayil. Where do we see that? Shur ben yomei kori shur dichtiv, because the pasuk says shur eichesev eiz ki yivolid. The pasuk says when a shur or a lamb or a goat is born, then the pasuk says you have to leave it for 8 days before you can bring it as a korban. So we see that already when it's born, it's called shur. Otherwise, the Torah would have said egel eichesev. So therefore, we see that even on the day it's born, it can be called a shur. So therefore, Rava is saying that can't really be considered a shinui hashem. And similarly, ayo ben yoy mekori ayo. Similarly, even a ram, a male sheep on the day it's born can already be called a sheep, can already be called an ayo. Dichtiv, because we find when Yaakov is telling off Lavan, he's saying, how could you come chase after me and claim that I stole things of yours and whatever? Don't you realize during all the years that I was working for you as a shepherd, the eilet son chaloyacholti. He says, I never ate the rams of your sheep. Now, what does he mean? Elim hu delay ochal, klosim ochal. What does he mean? I never ate the rams, the grown-up animals, but I did eat the sheep, obviously, the baby sheep, obviously not. Elalav shmamina ayo ben yeme kori ayo. Therefore, obviously, the word ayo includes even newborn animals. And Yaakov is saying, I never ate any of you animals, even the newborn ones. So there's no problem that we should consider that there was Shinui Hashem over here, because the fact is it's not Shinui Hashem, the same name, sure, that it had when it was born, now it has when it's grown up, the same name, Ayo, that it had when it was born, now it has when it's grown up. Okay. So, So now at this point, now though the question still is, so now we have like this. Rav Chanina brought a braisa against Rav Ila, which said that you do pay tashlum al-bal chamish. So now again, Rav Chanina himself, fine, that's exactly what Rav Chanina holds. You do pay tashlum al-bal chamish because you don't say shaloi hu teveyach shaloi hu moicher. You don't say there was no shinui over here. There's no shinui hashem. We just established there wasn't shinui any other the physical shinui in the animal. Rav Chanina doesn't take into consideration. So therefore, according to him, you don't say that the ganav was ever koina the animal at all for any purpose. And therefore, therefore when he's tavach hamachar, then it's still not his animal, and therefore he can be chayav dala behe. Meanwhile, though, Rav Ila had said that he would pay, that he wouldn't pay tashlum abav chamisha because shaloi hu tebeach shaloi hu moicher, and yet we brought a braisa that said differently. So now we'll continue the discussion, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, and we'll talk about how Rav Ila is going to explain the braisa, and then eventually we'll get back to Rav's din about the keren versus the tashlum abav chamisha.